Let's turn in our Bibles here this morning to the book of Romans, and we're going to go to chapter 14. Romans in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans is the next book after that. The first epistle here in our Bibles by the Apostle Paul, and I am going to read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Romans 14, starting at verse number 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Again, I read out of an NIV translation, and it says this. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I pray that all of our hearts here this morning will be challenged and enlightened and be able to grow from these words of Scripture that we just read. I pray that the words that I'm about to speak will be pleasing to you, Lord, and that through them will help us understand what these scriptures are attempting to teach us. As always, Lord, I hide behind the cross, and you get all the glory. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Effective immediately. Any person found listening to rock and roll music or subscribing to HBO and Showtime will no longer be welcome at Beech Grove Christian Church. Starting next Sunday, every man who enters this church must wear a suit and tie, and every woman that enters this church must wear a dress and a hat. Wink, wink, wink. No, that's not going to happen here, okay? Please. It's not going to happen here. But there may be, and there are, some Christians, some churches, and even some denominations that are going to tell you that. And they may go as far as saying this, that you are not welcome at your church, that if you do those things. And they may even go as far as saying this, that if you do those things or don't do those things, whatever the case may be, you're going to hell because of those. And they will find somewhere in the Bible biblical text that supports their way of thinking. So it is written. So I believe, so shall you be judged, is what they would say. Now, let's get one thing straight. There are some issues in the Bible that are clearly defined by the Bible. Let me just give you a couple, for instance. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Amen. We are saved by grace through faith, and not by works. Amen. But what about these other issues? Is this really what the Bible teaches? And are we here at Beech Grove Christian Church, are we in error because we don't follow along with what those things say? Well, here in Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul calls such issues disputable matters. So what are disputable matters? They are matters that are not specifically, keyword, specifically defined in the Bible. They are neither immoral or moral in and of themselves. They are just there. And we may encounter these matters in our daily lives or even at certain churches. Some disputable matters that we may or have encountered in 21st century America would be matters such as food, drink, recreation, television, movies, books, magazines, sports, Sunday activities, cards, games, dancing, smoking, hairstyles, clothing styles, music styles, Christmas trees, etc., etc., and the list moves on. And these matters become disputable when denominations or churches or even individual Christians try to tell you what to do with them. And then they judge you by them. And their view on these issues just might be a little different than what your view might be on that same issue. And there's two extremes when we go to this camp of disputable matters. In one corner, you have people who are what we would call legalists. The legalists have a list. And every conceivable disputable matter can be found on the list, along with the appropriate procedure, what to do when you encounter that matter. The legalists, they love law, they love judgment, and they love the Old Testament. But in the other corner, far over here on this other side, you have people called libertarians. They do not have a list, nor do they even know that a list exists. They would rather ask for forgiveness than for permission. The libertarians, these extremes, they love freedom and they love grace and they love the New Testament. And Paul calls these issues disputable matters because many Christians fall into one of these two extreme groups over here or over here. And these people over here think these people are a really bad example of Christianity. And these people over here think these people over here are a really bad example for Christianity. And these two groups will dispute certain matters. And they'll give biblical support for their side, depending on what side they're on. Let me give you a couple examples. For instance, dancing is allowed and should be allowed by everyone because 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David, he was dancing before the Lord, so I should be able to dance too. Smoking is not allowed because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Rolling dice is allowed because in Acts chapter 2, the apostles had to cast lots to decide who the replacement apostle was going to be for Judas. And mowing your lawn on a Sunday is forbidden because the fourth commandment tells us to keep holy the Sabbath day. We can find a biblical reference pretty much to any issue that we want. I've shared this example before. I'll share it again. I had a friend that I was going to pick up for lunch, and him and I were going to go out to lunch one day, and I was in my car, and I had my CD in there, and my CD was playing. What was the CD? The Eagles' Greatest Hits. Okay? Remember the Eagles back from the 70s? And I had my Eagle CD going, and I stop by and pick him up, and he gets in the car. And as soon as he gets in the car, he hears this music. And he, what's that? It's the Eagles. And he was a Christian now. But he gave me this look as if, why are you doing that? He didn't have to say a word. I understood his position. So I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I went and I turned the power off and we turned it off. And it was that simple. You see, my friend Paul, he was offended by listening to rock and roll music. So who was right? Me or him? Could be a disputable matter, right? So how should we respond when we encounter a disputable matter? We might find out that every situation calls for a different response. And this morning I want to give you several questions that one should ask and the appropriate answer when we are controlled or confronted with a disputable matter. So we have five fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin, and these are great questions that you need to ask yourself, and you need to answer for yourself how you feel like you need to respond when you are confronted with a disputable matter. Number one, first question you need to ask, and this is solely for yourself. Will it violate my conscience? Will it violate my conscience? Your conscience is the convicting voice of your belief system. It instructs you as to whatever is right or wrong based on your belief system. And the belief system of a Christian is going to be made up of what we have been taught by God's Word, the Bible, by what our parents have taught us, by our education, by our environment, etc., etc. And Paul addresses this issue in verse number 5 when he says this: each one should be fully convinced in his own mind, in our own mind, in our own conscience. So I need to ask myself before I engage in this disputable matter, will it violate my conscience? Because my conscience is my system of right and wrong according to God's word. Me personally, I have no problem listening to old rock and roll music from the 60s and 70s. That issue does not violate my conscience, and I personally, I'm fully convicted in my own mind that it's okay. You may arrive at a different conclusion, and that needs to be okay. Number two, will it help other believers by its example? Now, the first question, will it violate my conscience? That's kind of between me and God and what I think of it. Number two, now we're involving other people. Will it help other believers by its example? If I do this, whatever this may be, or if I don't do this, whatever it is, what kind of example am I setting for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for people like you? Now, Paul uses the example of food sacrificed to idol here in Romans chapter 14. And for the Gentiles who have just turned from their pagan religion into Christianity, that was a real big issue. Because you see, at one point in time in their pagan life, they would sacrifice meat to their gods and goddesses. And now, here they are with their life in Christ, and they're being told, well, you have liberty in Christ. You can do what you want. Well, I don't know if I want to eat that meat. That was sacrificed to idols. And situations like this, they had to work it out in their own conscience if it would be right or if it would not be right. What kind of example would they set in the face of their brothers and sisters in Christ? Let me go on a little bit further. I only read the first 8 verses this morning, but I'm going to read verse number 15. Of that same chapter, Romans 14, 15, and it says this: if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother from whom Christ died. Now, I'm going to take that exact same verse and I'm going to substitute my situation of my friend Paul when he got into my car and I was listening to some old rock and roll music. Let me read that same verse, let me substitute a real life situation. If Paul is distressed because of that rock and roll CD that you have in your CD player, I am no longer acting in love. Do not, by playing that CD, destroy Paul from whom Christ died. You see, when we make it and turn it into a real life situation, it kind of takes on a different meaning. So I should not have played that because he was the weaker brother, and to him that music was just not appropriate. So I turned it off. And then we get to verse 16, which says this: do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Now, because listening to oldies music is a disputable matter, at least it was between me and my friend Paul, we cannot say that the other person is doing an evil thing. He cannot point his finger at me and say, you're evil, Mike, because you're listening to that old rock and roll music. And I can't point my finger at him and say, you're evil, Paul, because you don't. Come on. You have freedom in Christ. You can listen to it. Neither one of us can do that, because the act in itself is not an evil act. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. To help us fill in these next couple questions that we have in our bulletin, to help us with this issue of disputable matters. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse number 12. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Based on that verse right there, and the fact that we're talking about disputable matters, the next question that we need to ask ourselves when confronted with a disputable matter is this: will it benefit my spiritual walk? That's our fill in the blank number 3. Will it benefit my own spiritual walk? And Paul is not talking about sinful situations here. Sinful situations are never beneficial. They are never condoned by the Bible or God's Word. He's clearly talking about things called disputable matter. Disputable matters. Let me give you another personal example to help illustrate this. Bowling. Okay? Bowling, you know, you go up to the bowling alley, you throw the ball down the lanes. Everyone's been bowling at least once in their life. I like to bowl, and actually at one point in time I was pretty good at it. I used to be in leagues. I was in Monday night leagues. I was in Wednesday night leagues. And I enjoyed going bowling. Now, bowling in itself is neither good nor bad. It's not evil. And it's just there. It's something that we can do. So the question now becomes, is it okay for me to join a bowling league? Is it okay for a Christian to join a bowling league? Is it okay for a Christian pastor to join a bowling league? Well, I was in a Monday night league for many, many years at Wayne Lanes over here. And for me, it was not a church league. It was just a league of men and women who liked to bowl on Monday nights. And I had the opportunity on those Monday nights to go in there and witness to many people who were unbelievers. I got to share the gospel message and share my faith there at the bowling alleys on Monday nights. And to me, that was beneficial. But if joining a bowling league, just as an example, means that I start maybe betting on my bowling talents and abilities with the possibility of losing lots of money or the risk of a gambling addiction, and the risk of that money that should be putting food on my table going somewhere else, now, maybe that's not such a good idea. Then it wouldn't be beneficial. But that's not the way I looked at it. I looked at it from the standpoint of I could use it as a witnessing opportunity to people who were there. So to me, it was beneficial. I had to ask myself that question. Now, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6, 12 one more time, and then we'll go to our fourth fill in the blank. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. The fourth question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to a disputable matter, and you're asking yourself, oh, is this in the Bible or not? Should I do it, not do it, whatever? Will it master me? Will it master me? Will this thing, whatever this thing is, become my master? And I assure you, my friends, there are many things in this life that can master a person. And it might be something that we just so very innocently just try out for the first time. Oh, I just want to try this or do this. And then it turns into something that we do a little more frequently because we enjoyed it so much that first time. So now I do it a little bit more. Then what happens then when it becomes a way of life? Or what happens when it becomes an addiction? What happens when this disputable matter now has total control over that Christian person? You know, some people are controlled by their hobby of collecting things. And then suddenly it turns into hoarding. And then if you've ever watched the TV show, some of these houses become health hazards. And really, some sad places to see and to be in. Some people are controlled and have been mastered by their jobs. And they spend more time at work than what they do with their spouse or their children or their grandchildren. Some people are controlled and mastered by tobacco. And then it turns into a $75 a week habit, $100 a week habit, money that could be better spent on other things. Some people are controlled by a computer and the internet and all those things that can be put right there on that screen, right there in front of you. I have a friend that I used to go to church with many, many years ago. Him and his wife and two children, they were faithful congregants at the church that I was attending at the time. I would have considered all of them very much a good Christian family. And then when I moved away from that church, I hadn't seen him for years and years and years. And then I ran into her at Food Lion at the grocery store. And I asked her, well, how's your husband doing? And I mentioned his name. And she looked at me with this look on her face. She said, you haven't heard? Heard what? Oh, he left me a long time ago. What happened, if it's any of my business? Well, you see, he got on the internet and just playing around, he got on one of these dating sites and he wanted to see how eligible he was out there until he found out how eligible he was. Something that had started off so innocently turned into something that became a little more of a habit, a little more of an addiction, and before you know it, the whole marriage is torn apart. He leaves her, and he goes and, for the lack of a better term, shacks up with this girl that he met on the internet. Will it master me? The internet mastered that man. And number five, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 through 33. And God's word says this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Our fifth and final fill in the blank. When it comes to disputable matters, ask yourself this. Will it evangelize the unbeliever? Will this evangelize the unbeliever? Does my response to this disputable matter cause me to be the light of the world? And does my response to this disputable matter cause me to be the salt of the earth? When people see me doing this, or not doing this, depending on whatever, am I glorifying God in my words and in my actions? Paul says here not to cause anyone to stumble. And he qualifies anyone by saying Jews, the Greeks, or even people that are in the church of God. One last and final personal example. And I get this question quite often from friends that I work with in the building where I work. They've asked me, Mike, is it okay to drink beer or to have a glass of wine? Okay? Fair question. Disputable matter. My response to them is this. I can only speak for myself. I don't drink, and I don't drink any alcoholic beverages, and I haven't since November 5th, 1988, and I'll give you the two reasons why I don't. The first reason is this, because up until that point, it was the master of my life, and I was a slave to alcohol and all the things that alcohol brings in to a person's life. And I vowed after November 5th, 1988, that I am never going to go down that road again. And the second reason is this. I don't want people seeing me out at a restaurant or someplace with an alcoholic beverage in my hand and that using that as a reason that they can stumble if they are a believer, or for them to stumble because by me doing this, I could malign the word of God. And I just don't personally want to do that. If you're going out and mow your lawn and you want to come in and have a can of beer, go for it. I have no problem with that. Has it mastered you? Has it got to the point where it has consumed you instead of you consuming it? That's where the question is. So, let's conclude. And by the way, I'll just be perfectly honest with you, and I would say this if she was here. Gail sometimes has a glass of beer every now and again, and I have no problem with that. It hasn't mastered her, and it doesn't bother me if I see her doing it. You might think, oh my goodness, Mike, isn't that a temptation? Isn't that a stumbling block? Praise the Lord. I can watch every beer commercial in the world, and it doesn't bother me one bit. If I open up my refrigerator and I saw three cases of Coors Light in there, it wouldn't bother me one bit. It just is not a temptation. I do, however, have other vices that I will not share with you, because you're not going to put those in my path. But alcoholic beverages are not one of them. So let's conclude. If you come to a disputable matter, if you think, oh, this is not an issue that I know is specifically outlined in the Bible, so what should I do with it? You can do a couple different things. If you can consult your list, if you're one of these legalists over here, and you can just act accordingly. Well, let me see if it's on the list. Oh, if it's on there somewhere, then this is what I'll do or not do. But if you do that, let me say this. You don't need the Lord. You don't need a prayer life. You don't need to cultivate searching the mind of God. You don't need to pursue intimacy with God. And you don't really need to know the heart of a spirit that's trying to tell you to dig in deep into God's word and try to find out the answer for yourself. You just look up the matter on your list. You find it and you act accordingly. It's that simple. But if you're way over here, if you're just going to live free in grace and you're just going to run wild all the time, well, you know what? These people over here, they don't need the Lord either now, do they? Because they're just not worried about anything. You just go and these people just go and do what they want. And the only time that they need him is when they really run into trouble. And then they go to God and ask for forgiveness and then continue to move on. In either case, you don't want to be way over here. And you certainly don't want to be way over here. In either case, if you're in these extremes, you will never cultivate an intimate, ongoing, continual, deep, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're going to live by asking yourself maybe these questions when it comes to disputable matters, then you're going to be daily seeking to know the mind of Christ. And that's what Christians are asked to do. Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So let's just say this. I hope you're okay when I listen to my rock and roll. And when you get done mowing your lawn, go have yourself a beer. And I think we'll be okay. Let's go to God in prayer.